my soul was fed by Brother Willie as he preached to us this morning. I just saw that lamb, you know, the Lamb of God, led as the lamb to the slaughter. The sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Now, I'll read a few verses from Matthew chapter 11. I want to talk about the church and its relationship to the Lord and its relationship to us as much as I can for a little while. If I were new that I was going to die and leave my wife here, you know what my request would be if I made one? Take care of her. Look after her. Do what I would try to do if I were here. Well, Jesus went away and left his wife in this world. When we talk about the church, we're talking about the Lord's wife. And he loves her. He's very concerned with her welfare. He's given us certain instructions about how we should occupy until he comes back. Occupy in it and to treat it. 11th chapter of Matthew, and starting with verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. I realize there are times when we think of the kingdom of God that it covers far more than what we're talking about right here in this passage. But there are times, especially in the New Testament, when it talks about the kingdom of God and it's talking about the church. Synonymous terms. They're the same thing. The kingdom of God is wherever God rules and reigns, but he rules and reigns especially in the church. And it says, from the days of John the Baptist, that's when the church began. The church didn't begin at Pentecost. The church was already in existence when the communion service was held. That was before Pentecost. He said, I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. Appoint presently. That wasn't at Pentecost. See some church signs that say constituted A.D. 33. We got them beat. Our church was constituted before A.D. 33. It was constituted, I don't know the date, but it was when John started baptizing in the River Jordan under the command of God. It was with difficulty they entered in then, and it's with difficulty they enter in today. But our job is to try to open the gates, open the doors as much as possible, and show the way to God's children that they might know how to follow the Lord in his church and to do the things that he has instructed for us to do. My, it's good to see you all this morning. What a pleasant congregation. I'm glad to see Deacon Legon. That's a hard name for me to remember. You need to get him some of that Just for Men, because I kept looking at him and I thought, that's not Brother Legon. He didn't have no white mustache. But it is, and I'm glad to see him and his wife here this morning. Good to see all of you here. Pray for me as I try to look a little into this entrance into the church. You know, we sing songs sometimes about Jordan On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. And we sing that many times thinking about heaven. You know, our coming up to the river of Jordan, which we picture as death, and crossing over it into heaven's land. That's a beautiful picture, and I have anything you can think about that gives you beautiful thoughts about heaven, just go right ahead with it. I have no objection to it. You can't think better of it than it really is. Whatever beautiful thoughts you have about heaven, it's going to be better than that. But to get the real truth of the matter, we need to back up and think of Canaan's land and the crossing the river of Jordan as the waters of baptism and entrance into the church of the living God. And as we think about that, we think about the promise that God made to Abraham. You see, Canaan was promised to Abraham years and years and years ago. In the process, however, of them getting to it and occupying it, there were several generations and many hard trials along the way. 430 years they spent in slavery and bondage in the land of Egypt. 430 years. And when the Lord got ready to bring them out, of course, He was preparing them for some great something in the future while they were there. When He got ready to get them out, I thought, He's sure having a hard time of it. You know, had to send all those plagues and none of them worked. Just for a little while, and then Pharaoh's heart would be hardened back again, and it's right back where they were before. But God knew exactly what He was doing. He knew exactly what it was going to take to get them out. And finally, when He came, passed over, you know, said, put the blood on the doorposts and the lintels. Kill your sacrifice and put the blood on the doorposts and the lintels. That's a picture of our redemption. The purchase price that was to be paid by the blood of the Lamb. And He said, I'm going to pass over, and on every house where there's not blood on the doorpost, I don't know what a lintel is, but some part of the house, if there's no blood there, there's going to be death in that household. The firstborn of every house. And there was not a house in Egypt that didn't have a death. The death of the firstborn. But among the Israelites, where they practiced what God told them to do, there wasn't a death. God brought them out. He knew exactly how long they was going to be there and told them beforehand they would be there that long. And He brought them out. And on the way, and oh, what miracles He did show on the way from Egypt till they reached the promised land. When they finally got across the Red Sea and into the wilderness, to make the story fit into the time frame, they came to Kadesh Barnea. God brought them to the edge of the promised land. Appointed a committee that showed they were Baptists way back then. See, appointed a committee of man out of every tribe to go in and inspect the land. See what it's going to take for us to go in, make sure everything's like it ought to be. And they came back, and ten of them described the beauty of the land. They had seen a little bit of the beauty, but they said, there are giants there. They brought back a bunch of grapes. I've lived in California where grapes are grown in huge amounts. I never saw a bunch like this. One bunch of grapes hanging up on a stick took two men to carry showed the kind of fruit they have there. 10 men said, we can't take it. The cities are walled cities, walled with rock. We can't take it. 2 men said, we can take it, Caleb and Joshua. Thank God. Oh, how I thank God today for Caleb and Joshua who saw the difficulties but also saw their God, and they remembered how God had delivered them out of Egypt when it looked hopeless, opened up the Red Sea, and all the other miracles they had seen along the way. They remembered and they said, we can take it. Praise God for those few today that are showing the beauties of the land of Canaan, the church of the living God, and saying, we can take it. Thank God for these people who are going to foreign lands with the gospel today. And thank God for those men in America who are getting out in their neighborhood and inviting people to church and trying to show them the true doctrines of salvation by grace so that they will not be carried about by every wind of doctrine, but that they might be good servants of the Lord Jesus Christ and work in His kingdom in this world. Now the committee, the 10, won. They won. You know, they stayed around there 40 days trying to decide. I hate committees. I hate conferences. I hate business. The least business you can have in a church, the better off you are. They stayed around there for 40 days trying to figure out if they should go in or not. And finally, God had it up to here, and He said, no. No, you're not going. But for every day that you stood around here waiting to go in, you'll spend another year in this wilderness. 40 more years in the wilderness. And then they came back the next time with a different attitude. A readiness. Oh, I pity the children of God who see the land of Canaan, the church of the living God, but will not go in. Will not go in. It's with difficulty you enter in. You sometimes have to go through ice water. You sometimes have to go through people who are telling you you're making a big mistake. Steer clear of those hard shells. I agree with Brother Willie. We've had hard shells, primitive Baptists that have not done the right thing and believed the wrong thing. But am I going to let that keep me out of it? Not by 1,000 miles. If you think primitive Baptists are the only ones that have trouble, you're wrong. Other people split up and divide up and fight as much as we do. And I'd rather fight than switch. But I don't want to fight either. They came back and ready to cross over. Jordan was at flood stage. It was the time of harvest, and Jordan was overflowing its banks, the Bible said. I could turn and read that to you, but I'll just tell you about it. At flood stage, every time you come to the waters of baptism, it's at flood stage. You're scared, scary. You know, don't afraid to enter in. He said, watch the priests. Stay so far behind the priests they couldn't get too close. When the priests carrying the ark of God, oh, what symbolism. What beauty there is in that. As the priests draw near and step their feet in the water, they could have stood there at the edge of the water all day long and nothing would have happened, brethren and sisters. I hope you're listening. And nothing would have happened. But as soon as those priests stepped their feet in the water, oh, the miracle of God, the waters began to stack up just like a dam had been built. and the water stopped flowing. And they walked across and stopped right in the middle and took up 12 smooth stones as a memorial. Oh, I've got a few memorials myself that I picked up in the River Jordan when I came into the old church. And they're beautiful to look at. Those memories are wonderful to think about. One of them was that old mentally retarded sister that didn't have enough sense to get married and have a family and do ordinary things in life. That old trembling soul came up to me as I came out of the water and said, "You've done something you'll never regret." How did she know? Oh, God had blessed her to experience that part of it herself. Now, the text said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. That simply means, brethren, if you get in, you're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to struggle. You're going to have to elbow your way in. That don't mean the violent is going to the world is going to take over the church by violence and stamp it out of existence. That don't mean that. It means that we must violently fight back all the enemies that are there to try to keep us from being a part of the bride, the Lamb's wife. How do we become a part of the bride, the Lamb's wife? By joining the church, by being baptized, by pressing into it. Oh, I remember that experience. I'm glad to get an opportunity today to tell it again. The Lord had finally brought me from those old, you know, having to sit on those old 1x4 slat benches with cracks about that wide between every seat, and having to sit there and listen at those preachers. Oh, wasn't like it is now. Nearly 12 o'clock and you're looking forward to hitting that table in there. There, you had to go home and cook dinner after church is over, and it looked like church never would be over. And you had to sit there and listen. And if you got too fidgety, my mother would reach over and just take a plug out and make us straighten up. And I didn't understand what the preacher was talking about. But finally, God began to open my heart, and I could see a little bit. And the more I could see, the more I wanted. And I decided, that's for me. That's for me. And I knew, as church time approached, our church only met once a month then, and that was pretty good. The preacher had to come from a long ways off, and it was hard for him to get there, and I could tell you long stories about that, but it was good to have church once a month then. It's no excuse today. I don't have a bit of patience for those churches that will not meet as often as they possibly can. But I decided I was going to present myself for membership. My mother was expecting a baby, our last baby, Lester, was just before being born. This is September, and he was born November the 5th. And she was working around to get things ready for church. We had church Saturday and Sunday. She worked too hard. I stayed around where she was working, ironing, cleaning house, getting ready, trying to tell her what I wanted to do. But it just wouldn't come out. And as a result, she overworked and didn't come, but she would have come if she had known what I was going to do. My heart just kept beating hard and fast, and all the way through the sermon, will I have courage enough to go? The devil telling me I wasn't worthy, he said, you'd never have seen anybody join the church. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. Don't do it. thank God for that inner, still, small voice that kept saying, go, go, go. And I went. And it's been the best thing that's ever happened in my life, other than the Holy Spirit itself entering in. I found fathers and mothers and brethren and sisters and houses and lands, and all of my needs have been met. Oh, it thrills my soul to hear old Brother Willie tell about the struggles of youth and childhood in his early days, and being called to preach and being so ignorant in his own estimation, being so unqualified, but going anyway. And God has sustained him all these many years. And as he reaches close to the sunset of life, he still has his home in the city of God, the church of the living God. We must violently take hold of it, brethren. We must fight away every temptation and every roadblock that the devil throws in the way. Thank God for his mighty, wonderful blessings upon us. Thank you, brother.
One from my sin-sick soul, Christ did every burden roll. Now I walk redeemed and whole, hand in hand with Jesus, hand in hand we walk each day,
you do it. Okay, that was the eight dog dude. 147. Yes, you're saying that when you put the eight dog dude. I'll take this story and just out. I asked all these elders, minister to me, how come on up and join in, you know, and join the handshake. And let me, as you come around, this is the offering table here. Where there ain't no sacrifice, there ain't no service in the Lord's house. So I encourage you to be jealous in the Lord's house. And you try not to block the view, you come back and get the church. Because you can't pay for the gospel. Isn't that right?
Amen.
This is an opportunity for us